Morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Chavtes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is loan of Zeichon Nishmas Libra, Gabriel Bashmuel. Take a look back at the Mishnah on Chavtes. Mishnah begins with Chavtes, Amad Aleph. Mishnah brought somewhat of a strange scenario. Mishnah had two halachas. First halacha is where a person says that he's referring to his saplings or he's talking about a garment that he owns. And the first case of the Mishnah writes, I'm just rereading the Mishnah, Arei Nitzios Elu Karbon, Im Eina Nitzasos. They become a carbon if I don't cut them down. Talz the carbon Im Eina Nitzrefes, and the carbon and the talz becomes a carbon, meaning has Kedusha. If it doesn't get burned, Yeshlam Pidyon, so these garments are subject to Pidyon. As we learned yesterday's daf, Gemara is discussing a scenario where chances are a good chance that the fruit's going to get blown down, and I'm not going to have a chance to cut them down, or the talz is going to get burnt, because right now the house is on fire, and there's a good chance, and I make a statement that, look, I'm really hoping, it's almost like a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm really hoping that I get to cut it down, I'm really hoping that my talz doesn't burn, and I make that statement as kind of like a hope and a prayer. So the Mishnah teaches us that for whatever reason, the fruit do survive, and the talus and the garment does survive, so they're going to have Kedusha. I might have thought, the Gemara, this is just a review of the Gemara we saw yesterday, I might have thought that what I said was not really meant or not really intended, so the Chiddush of the Gemara yesterday is that it's meant and it's intended. Today we're going to focus on the next part of the Mishnah, and really the entirety of today. The Mishnah then goes on to say, Harei Nitzios Elu Karbon Ad Shiktsotsu. I declare these fruit to be have Kedusha until I cut them down. Once I cut them down, so Kedusha is going to go away. Okay, so Zeh Karbon, so the fruit remain in a state of Karbon. And Achit Tisarif, and similarly with the garment, I say the garment is going to have Kedusha until it's, the garment is going to have Kedusha until I burn it. So once again, the Mishnah says that the garment has Kedusha. And the Mishnah then concludes with three words, Ein lem pidyon, and there's no pidyon, I can't redeem them. Okay, let's go with some basic information before we commence the Gemara. The basic information that we already know, but just bears repeating and reviewing, is that when we talk about Kedusha, there really are two types of Kedusha. There's Kedusha Saguf, there's intrinsic sanctity, and there's Kedusha Damim, and there's Kedusha only on the monetary aspect, only on the value of an item. We are now talking about fruit, and we're talking about garments. Obviously, they don't have Kedusha Saguf. There's no intrinsic Kedusha. In other words, when I sanctify a fruit, or when I sanctify a garment, so the base of Mikdash is not going to take it and offer it as a carbon, obviously. So obviously the only interest that the base of Mikdash has is only its value. It's Kedusha's Damim. What then the base of Mikdash will do with it is that it's going to sell it and the proceeds are going to go towards whatever funds they deem appropriate. So the basic distinction between Kedusha's Aguf and Kedusha's Damim. Another basic thing that we know is that when something is given Kedusha's Aguf, so it's not redeemable. So I have an animal, and the animal is not blemished, and I demand that it has Kedusha. I consecrate it, imbue it with Kedusha. So we know that the animal is non-redeemable. Now the only thing that's left to be done with the animal is offered as a carbon. I can at any point in time say, you know what? I changed my mind. I want to redeem its value. You can't do that. Certain things are redeemable, but generally speaking, carbonos are not redeemable. Truma is not redeemable. Okay, but today we're talking about Kedusha. So we're talking about an animal and a carbon. So it's not redeemable. So therefore, the Kedusha can't go away. Even if I try to redeem it, I can't do it. Even if I try to exchange it for another animal, the original Kedusha stays. That's the Parsha of Temura. The Kedusha still stays. So by Kedusha Haguf, we know that the animal will and will always have, has and will always have Kedusha. But when we're talking about Kedusha Sadamim, so if it only has Kedusha for its value, so it's redeemable. So the Mishnah is very perplexing. The Mishnah says that if I point to a fruit on a tree and I say, this will have Kedusha until I cut it down, okay, or if the garment as well, this has Kedusha until it's burned. So it has Kedusha. But then the Mishnah tells us something which we have to really struggle with. And the Mishnah says, Ein la pidyon. I can't redeem it. Can't redeem it? What do you mean? It only has kedushas damim. It doesn't have kedushas aguf. So without any discussion, the question that really begs itself is, why can't I redeem it? So that's where we're starting today. We're at the two dots on Chav Chesem and Beis. And the question that Gemara formulates is a one-word question. And it really is just, it's a simple, basic question. The Olam, really, forever? Right, the Ron puts a question mark after the word. Really? I can't redeem it forever? At best, it only has kedushas damim. Of course it's redeemable. And the Mishnah says, ein lam pidyon, I can't redeem them. So that begs a question, and the answer that ensues will take us for the remainder of today's daf. So to that, the Gemara is going to now offer us two explanations of the Mishnah. Amar Bar Pada. So we start off with explanation number one, that belonging to Bar Pada. Bar Pada is an Amora. Explaining our Mishnah happens to be an early generation Amora. So, Padan Chozos V'Kedushos, Padan Chozos V'Kedushos. Achi K'satsu. Niksatsu Padan Pam Achas V'Dio. So, Bar Pada says, here's what we're going to do with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah means the following. As long as the fruit's on the tree, so I can redeem it. And that means then that the money that I use in exchange for the fruit that has the same value as the fruit is going to be imbued with the Kedusha of the fruit. Good. So now the fruit is redeemed. What does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says Ein Lam Pidyon? It means that because I said that the fruit on the tree is going to have kedusha until I cut it down, so you know what essentially I'm saying? I'm saying is that even if I redeem it, I want there to be a new kedusha to go onto the fruit. In other words, I'll keep redeeming it while it's connected to the tree, but as long as it's connected to the tree, it's going to get reconsecrated once again. I can redeem it, but based on my original statement, it's just going to have another kedusha that falls on it. And if I redeem it a second time, it'll be another kedusha that falls on it. It'll keep getting kedusha until I cut it down. What happens after I cut it down? So let's imagine that I didn't do any redemption. Let's say I declare the fruit to be kadosh, achi k'satsu, until I cut it down, and then I cut it down, so Bar Pada says, so good. So now the fruit still has kedusha. The kedusha doesn't go away. And so what happens is I redeem it. But after I cut it down, I only need to redeem it one time, because after I cut it down, so now the fruit still has its kedusha, and I redeem it, but because it's now cut from the tree, I redeem it once, and that's it. Vidayo, and that'll be sufficient.
There's no concern about me cutting it down.
There will be a concern of Me'ilah, but right now we're just assuming that the fruit is going to be in its state of Kedusha until I redeem it. The only difference between being on the tree versus being off the tree is while it's on the tree, so it gets reconsecrated every single time based on my original declaration. Post my original declaration, it no longer is subject to the reconsecration. So all I need to do is just simply redeem it once, and that'll be it. That is the way Bar Pada understands the Mishnah. So the words, according to Bar Pada, Ein Lahem Pidyon, means not that you can't redeem it. Of course you can redeem it. But while it's connected to the tree, it's not going to help. I'll redeem it. The money will be consecrated. But the fruit itself still remains Kadosh. That's Bar Pada's understanding of the Mishnah. Ula Amar, and Ula says no. That's not what's going to happen. Ula is of the opinion, Kevishin Iksar, so once I cut off the tree, Shuv Ein Podin. I don't need to redeem it once I cut off the tree. Because the way Ula understands our Mishnah, Ein Lahem Pidyon doesn't mean you can't redeem it. Ein Lahem Pidyon, according to Ula, means I don't need to redeem them. Why? Because when I invested the fruit with Kedusha, it's a temporary Kedusha. I only invested it while it's connected to the tree. But in other words, once I cut off from the tree, so that's it. I gave it only a temporary Kedusha, so by cutting off the tree, now the Kedusha goes away. Yeah. What's the motivation? Why did I do that? Right. Maybe I did it just so that the fruit was off limits to everybody who takes it. Maybe that's the motivation why. It's a fair question.
And if they cut it, even if somebody...
And what if somebody else cuts it? Okay,
if
that's...
If they cut it, the Kedusha is going to go away.
Right. So, but what comes out over here, according to the between Bar Pada and Ula, is a very fundamental debate. And that is the following. Temporary Kedusha. So, I guess we can ask it really fundamentally. Is there such a thing? Meaning, is there such an idea, is there a concept that I can imbue something with Kedusha, but only temporarily? So, Bar Pada says, no, you can't. Bar Pada says, once I invested with the Kedusha, even if it's only Kedusha's Damim, but once I invested with the Kedusha, that's it. It has Kedusha. And the only way the Kedusha is going to go away is if I I redeem it. And the only difference between, according to Bar Pada, being on the tree versus off the tree is whether or not it's going to get reconsecrated. If it's on the tree, so I'll redeem it, and of course the redemption works, but it's just going to get reconsecrated again, because my original declaration was Ashik Tzotzu, meaning it'll keep getting Kedusha until I cut it down. Once I cut it down, now I cut off the tree, the Kedusha didn't go away, the Kedusha is still there, and now what I do is I'll just simply redeem it, but now I only need to redeem it once, and now the Kedusha is going to go away. But according to Bar Pada, there's no such thing as temporary Kedusha. Good. And on this point, Ula argues. Ula says no. Ula's of the opinion that fundamentally there is such a thing as temporary Kedusha. Again, the motivation, I'm not really sure. You could do it. You can imbue something with Kedusha as temporary as you want. In the Mishnah's example, the temporary Kedusha is going to terminate at the point of cutting. Once I cut it, the Kedusha is going to go away. And Ula's of the opinion that once I cut it off the tree, the Kedusha goes away because I only gave it a temporary Kedusha. Good. So we have now, we're in the middle of a very basic debate between Bar Pada and Ula in terms of whether or not there's such a thing as temporary Kedusha. Bar Pada says no, and Ula says yes. Within the opinion of Ula, there needs to be one more point of clarification, and this is where the Ran has a very lengthy discussion, and again, I'm going to distill the discussion and really only present one side of the Ran. The Ran quotes the Rashba. The Rashba argues with the following point, but I'm going to quote it. I'm going to quote the Ran's opinion. The Ran points out it's not his own opinion. It's not an original thought. This is presented from an earlier Rishon. He quotes Rav Moshe Kartavi. He's a Rishon. To be perfectly honest, until today, I never heard of him, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm just showing off my ignorance. But he quotes the Rishon that says the following: Ula argues with Bar Pada not on one point, but rather on two points, meaning that when Ula says that when you cut it, the Kedusha goes away, so that's temporary Kedusha. Ula's arguing also on Bar Pada's first point. What did Bar Pada say originally? Originally, while the fruit's still connected to the tree, so I redeem it. Now what happens? According to Bar Pada, Kedusha goes right back. Meaning, I did redeem it, the redemption was successful, the money's imbued with Kedusha, but now because of my original statement, the Kedusha goes right back onto the fruit. A new Kedusha because of my original declaration. According to the Ran, quoting Rav Moshe Kartavi, Ula argues on this point as well. Ula's of the opinion that when I redeem it, while it's still connected to the tree, it's going to be redeemed and it's done. And there's not going to be a new Kedusha on it. So in other words, even though the wording of Ula is, I disagree once you cut it off, but he really is arguing on both points. If you redeem it while it's connected to the tree, the Kedusha is going to go away permanently. As opposed to Bar Pada, says, no, it's going to get, the Kedusha is going to come back. Furthermore, Ula argues now what happens when I actually cut it. According to Bar Pada, the Kedusha doesn't just simply go away. You're still going to need to redeem it. And Ula's of the opinion, no. Once I cut it, the Kedusha goes away for good. Why is the Ran so convinced that this is the correct way to understand the Gemara? So if you take a look at the Ran at the very bottom of Chav Chesamud Beis, so he quotes Rav Moshe Kartuvi, I'll read some of it inside, 2, 4, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud, towards the end of the line, he says, Rav Moshe Kartuvi Zal. Okay, so after quoting the Rashba, and again, admittedly, I'm bypassing the Rashba's pshat. I'm just doing it for the sake of both brevity and for the sake of simplicity. Although, again, the Rashba is a significant Rishon, and I'm not dismissing his opinion. I'm just presenting one side of this, one side of the issue. So, Chalak Alava Amar, the Bar Pada v'Ula Batarti Pligi. The Bar Pada and Ula are really arguing on both points, on two points. V'Habah HaTalya. And here he says, and these two points really are connected one to another. D'mishum d'sri'le le'Bar Pada d'kdusha l'apaka l'abechdi. Because, look, Bar Pada is of the opinion that Kedusha doesn't simply go away. In other words, once you invest something with Kedusha, even if it's just Kedusha's Damim, it's there and it stays. So the pod on Chosos for Kedushas, therefore, while it's connected to the tree, so even if I redeemed it, the Kedusha is still there. The Ilav Hachilama Leila Hai Gavra Lamemer Achik Tatsu. Why would the person say that the Kedusha will remain until I cut it? It can't be that it's just because the Kedusha is going to go away, because according to Bar Pada, it doesn't. So the Amar Adolam, obviously, by saying the words Achik Tzatzu, until I cut him down, so there must be another point being made by Bar Pada, and that is Tachzor Kedusha Samalayim. That means that while it's connected to the tree, I must have meant, when I said the words Achik Tzatzu, meaning that it's going to get reconsecrated once again. Hilcha, Kiketani, and Lem Pijon, Lo Balomer Shalai Tzrichos Pijon, Kishik Tzatzu, the E Efshad Kedusha Lopacha Bichthi. According to Bar Pada, when I cut the fruit, there's no point in teaching me that the Kedusha goes away, because according to Bar Pada, the starting point for the whole discussion is that doesn't happen. There's no such animal, pun intended. In this case, we're talking about fruit. But it doesn't happen. It simply doesn't exist. Kedusha doesn't simply go away. Elal Omar, so what he must mean, she'ein, to the top of the next Amud in the Ran, she'ein pejo motzien l'chulen ashik tzatzu. It means now that the only time that my redemption is going to be a final redemption is only after I cut it. That's Bar Pada's position. Ula palig aleha va'amad al achashinik tatsu and strichim pijon de kedusha paka bichti. Ula disagrees. The starting point for Ula is that once I cut it, the kedusha goes away, because Ula is fundamentally of the opinion that kedusha just simply can go away, meaning that I can invest something with kedusha even if it's for a temporary time. And now kevin shekein la Ula. And so now, according to Ula, so now if the starting point is that the moment I cut it, the Kedusha simply goes away, because I only invested with temporary Kedusha, so now let's go to when it's connected to the tree. When it's connected to the tree, so by that, he does not mean then that while it's connected to the tree, I can't redeem it. For sure, I can redeem it. And furthermore, not only can I redeem it, but while connected to the tree, once I redeem it, it's redeemed. It just simply means that I'm going to create a point where the Kedusha is going to go away. Now, there's going to be a drop dead time when that's going to happen, then that's when I cut it. But if I choose to do an earlier time, for sure it's going to work. I'm sorry, period. That is the Ran's understanding of Ula. Ula argues on really two points of Bar Pada. Bar Pada says, number one, while connected to the tree, the fruit will be in a state of Kedusha, even if I redeem it. The redemption is successful, but the Kedusha goes back. After I cut it from the tree, the Kedusha is still there, and then I'm going to redeem it. But after I redeem it just one time, then the Kedusha goes away for good. Because according to Bar Pada, Kedusha doesn't go away on its own. There's no such thing as temporary Kedusha. According to Ula, I argue with both points. Because again, according to Ula, the starting point is you can invest something with temporary Kedusha. And because you do that, so now, what does he mean when he says Ashik Tzatzu? So it means that I'm going to give it Kedusha, but only until the point when I cut it. Then what's going to happen is that once I cut it, Kedusha goes away, because I only invested with temporary Kedusha. So now, based on that, the Ran explains, if I choose to terminate the Kedusha at an earlier point in time, by all means, you could do that. While it's connected to the tree, I'm going to redeem it. I only need to redeem it one time, and I just opted to end the Kedusha just a little bit earlier than what I originally intended. That is the way the Ran understands this machlokas between Bar Pada and Ula. Again, the Rashba disagrees. He disagrees on the first point. But for our purposes right now, again, just to simplify, and just to keep everything as narrow as possible, because the Gemara is going to get a little bit complicated, the way the Ran understands it, the position of Ula is that there is such a thing as temporary Kedusha. Once I cut it, the Kedusha simply goes away. And if I want to redeem it even earlier while still connected to the tree, I may do so. And there too, the Kedusha also will now be, the Kedusha will be gone. Good. That is the machlokus between Bar Pada and Ula. Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Hamanuna. We're now in the very, very top. I'm sorry. And just one other point to review, and that is, what does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah says ein lahem pidyon. So now, according to Bar Pada, it means while it's connected to the tree, it's not redeemable. But even that needs clarification, like we said, just to review. According to Bar Pada, ein lahem pidyon just simply means while it's connected to the tree, redeeming it is not going to help, because the Kedusha is just going to keep coming back. After I cut it, then I only need to redeem it once. That's how they understand the Mishnah, according to Bar Pada. According to Ula, no. Ein lahem pidyon is talking about after I cut it from the tree. And ein lahem pidyon means I don't need to be poda. And the reason why is because Ula's of the opinion that I can invest something with the Kedusha even for only a temporary period of time. That is right now the machlokus between Bar Pada and Ula, and it will manifest in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. Top of Chavtes Amud Aleph. Amalei Rav Hamnuna, Kedusha Shebehem Leichen Halacha. So Rav Hamnuna says to Ula, wow, what a chiddush. It's really amazing. This idea that you can give something Kedusha for a temporary period of time. Really? In other words, the Gemara is going to basically challenge, how does that work? How do you see that? And where did the Kedusha go? You cut it and that's it? The Kedusha just simply dissipates? That's hard to imagine. Uma ilo amar leisha. And the Gemara says, and now let's turn our attention to the halachas of marriage. First stage of marriage is called Kedushin. The reason why the first stage of marriage is called Kedushin is because, to say quite literally, you're mekadesh the woman. You're mekadesh ha'isha. Right? The first stage of marriage is called Kedushin. You're investing the woman with Kedusha. Now, we're speaking just strictly on a halachic basis. When you're investing a woman with Kedusha, what you mean by that is that she's usher to every other man, because she's now designated to you. So when you're mekadesh a woman, when you're sanctifying a woman, sanctifying meaning, really marriage, but in the context of our discussion, you are imbuing her with Kedusha, making her usher to everybody else through that act of Kedusha. So the Gemara says, let me ask you a simple question. You're mekadesh a woman. Can the Kedusha ever go away? The answer is yes. Death or divorce. But in other words, Kedusha never just dissipates. It never just disappears. Uma ilo amar leisha. Hayomat ishti. Let's say a man goes over to a woman and says, hey, you know what? Today, let's get married. Ulamachar yat ishti. But tomorrow, you know what? It'll be a temporary kedushin. I'll be mekadesh you for just one day, but tomorrow, the kedushin will just disappear. Doesn't work like that. So, mi nafka below get? Could the woman now exit her state of marriage, her state of kedushin, without a divorce? The answer is no. Can't do it. A woman can only exit her marriage only through divorce. So you see, I know it's a funny parallel, but in the topic, in the discussion of Kedusha, he's right. When a man's married, is Mekadesh a woman, Kedusha just doesn't disappear. It stays. And the only way to remove it is to actively remove it, either through his death or through divorce. But it just doesn't go away. So this is a question that the Gemara is now challenging Ula. There's no such thing as just Kedusha going away. Amalei Rava mi kamidamis Kedusha tamim Kedusha saguf. So Rava says, that's not a fair comparison. Because when a woman is imbued with Kedusha, she is given Kedushas haguf. Like we started off the whole shiur today. There are two types of Kedusha that we're going to imbue in an item. Now again, we're comparing a woman to an item, not for the purposes of objectification, just simply to make the following point. When a man is mekadesh a woman, the type of kedusha that she has now is what's called kedusha saguf. It's non-redeemable kedusha. But the Gemara says, Rava says in defense of Ula, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about fruit. Fruit, when given kedusha, is only given kedushas damim. It's Kedusha for its value. So now the Gemara is going to try to differentiate. When it comes to Kedusha Saguf, point taken. You're right. A woman is, once she's Mekudeshes, she remains Mekudeshes. And the Kedusha is not going to go away. But that's Kedusha Saguf. We're talking about the sanctification, the consecration of fruit. Fruit, that's Kedusha's Damim. And so right now what the Gemara is arguing is, maybe there, Kedusha will just simply dissipate. So Amale Rava Mika Medam is Kedusha's Damim, Kedusha's Guf. How can you compare Kedusha's Damim to Kedusha's Guf? Kedusha's Damim Paka Bechdi. Kedusha's Damim can go away on its own. Kedusha's HaGuf Lo Paka Bechdi. But Kedusha's HaGuf, however, doesn't just simply go away. Good. So this is right now the defense that the Gemara is giving to still support Ula's position. Amalei Abai Kedusha Zaguf Lo Paka Bechdi. So Abai says to Rava, let's think about this even one step further. Really? You think that by Kedusha Zaguf, the Kedusha just doesn't go away? I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove to you, we're going to learn a brisa together, and from this brisa you're going to see that not only Kedusha's Damim can just simply disappear, but even Kedusha's Haguf can disappear. Consider the following. Vehatanya. Gemara quotes the following brisa. Shur zeh ola kol lamed yom. Ula acher lamed yom shlamim. Let's say I make the following declaration. I turn to an animal. Now we're talking about an animal that can be offered on the Mizbeach. And I say this animal is going to be an Ola for the first 30 days. And then after 30 days, the animal is going to convert to a Shlamim. An Ola and Shlamim are two different types of Karbanos. An Ola, totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Kohanim shech the animal, offer all of it on the Mizbeach. They do walk away with the Oros. They walk away with the hides of the animal, but the animal in its entirety, except for the hide, is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Shlamim, not that way at all. A carbon shlamim has less kedusha. It still has kedusha saguf, but it has less kedusha. And a shlamim carbon, some of it is offered on the Mizbeach, the imurim, the insides, parts of the inside of the animal offered on the Mizbeach, but the remaining part of the animal is going to be eaten by the Kohanim and by the owners of the animal. Kohanim get chaz v'shok, and the owners of the animal get to eat the remaining part of the animal. Good. A man or woman turns to an animal and makes the following declaration. This animal for the first 30 days is going to be an Ola, and then after 30 days it's going to convert into a Shlamim. Kol lamed yom, what's the halacha? The brisa goes on to explain. So, kol lamed yom ola. For the first 30 days, the animal's an ola. And la'acher lamed yom shlamin. And then after 30 days, what happens? It turns into a shlamin. Okay, it's a very interesting halacha. Now, what is that halacha showing us? It's showing us that when I first imbued it with its first kedusha, meaning ola, that's kedusha saguf. Absolutely. It's a carbon. And then when I reassign it, I'm reassigning it to a shlamim. How does that work? As an ola, it has kedusha saguf and high-level kedusha saguf. It's an ola. And then what happens? I'm now going to just simply change it and alter it to shlamim. That also is kedusha saguf, but it has less kedusha saguf. What happened to the kedusha ola? Presumably, went away. Now, what Abaye is showing to Rava is, if you learn the brisa in its simplicity, what do you see over here? You see over here that the Kedusha, even Kedusha Saguf, can just simply go away. So now, Abaye is challenging Rava. Abaye says, what do you see here? That even in the world of Kedusha Saguf, we have this phenomena, that you invest something with intrinsic Kedusha, and the Kedusha can just simply go away. Amai, the Gemara articulates exactly this point. Kedusha Saguf Ninu. When I first imbued it with an Ola sanctity, that's Kedusha Saguf. Upaka Bichdi. And it just went away. And this obviously serves as a question against Rava. Okay. Now, Hacha B'mayaskinan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe this case would be a different case. How would it be a different case? Meaning, the brisa that we just learned. We're trying to defend Rava. And the Gemara says, maybe the animal here in question is the Amar Lidame. Where, when I invested the animal with Kedusha, I didn't mean that the animal itself is going to be a carbonola. What I meant was, the value of the animal is going to be carbonola. So that what would happen then, is that the animal itself is not going to go onto the Mizbeach, but rather the sanctity of the animal, let me say it better, the value of the animal is going to have a kedusha zola, and then that means then that at a later point in time, what I could do is I could just simply redeem the animal. The money will then have to be applied towards an ola, because I earmarked the value of the animal specifically for an ola, and so therefore the animal will be redeemed, and the money will use for a carbon ola. Or to put it simply, what the Gemara is saying now in defense of Rava is that this brisa over here is not talking about kedushas aguf, but rather it's talking about kedushas damim. A couple points to consider over here before we go on in the Gemara. First of all, the Ran points out that just the basic halachas regarding the consecration of an animal. If the animal is a non-blemished animal, and I imbue with Kedusha, so as a general rule, it goes right to the top. Meaning, like we said in the beginning of Shir today, there's two types of Kedushas. Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Aguf. If I have an animal and it does not have a physical blemish, so it could be offered as a karban. If this animal in question that I pointed to and said that this animal is going to have kedush is going to be an ola, and the animal is not blemished, so I can't say, you know, I only want the animal to have kedushas damim, because generally speaking, we use an object for its highest kedusha. A non-blemished animal, which I declare to be an ola, automatically becomes a karban ola, not deme ola. And so, if the animal in question over here is a non-blemished animal, this answer is just simply not a sustainable answer. The Gemara can't just simply point to an animal and say, I want it only to have kedushas damim. Doesn't work. It immediately jumps up to having kedushas aguf and has to be offered as a karban. The Ran therefore says that within this answer of the Gemara, you have to say that the animal in question has a blemish on it. And because it has a blemish, it affords me the opportunity to give it only damim kedusha, not guf kedusha. So the Ran says that you have to say that right now at this point in the Gemara, otherwise the Gemara's answer is not defensible. But, okay, we just have to keep that in mind. So when the Braisa describes how I imbue the animal with kedushas ola, we're talking about a blemished animal. The animal itself cannot be used as a karban. Therefore, it only has kedushas damim. I then can turn around and say that after 30 days, I want it to change into a shlamim. The animal itself, I want to change into a shlamim. Because in the world of kedushas damim, that you can do. You can take one kedusha, give it temporary kedusha status, and at a later point in time, you want to change it, you have every right to do so. But it would be true that if it had kedusha saguf, so then once an ola, always an ola, and it cannot be downgraded. So the Gemara says that's what we're talking about. So hach b'maiskin and damar l'demei. Okay, I hachi ema seifa. The Gemara says now let's think about this for a moment. Let's go to the second half of the brisa. Second half of the brisa reads la'achar lamiyom ola ume'achshav shlamim. The second half of the brisa says it works the other way as well, meaning that if I started off as being a shlamim and then 30 days from now I want to convert it into an ola, so the brisa says by all means you have every right to do so. I amart bishlama chad b'kedushas aguf chad b'kedushas damim. Now there are two parts to the brisa. One part of the brisa is telling me that I can take an animal and convert it from an ola to a shlamim. Second half of the brisa says I can take an animal and I can give it shlamim status, and after some time, it can be after 30 days, it can become an ola. Why would the brisa need to review both points? Iamart bishlama chad b'kedushas aguf chad b'kedushas damim. So now, if one part of the brisa tells me that I can go from kedushas aguf and back to kedushas shlamim, so the brisa to that, which then the brisa makes perfect sense, meaning because then the brisa is teaching me two points, one being an even greater point than the second. One point is that if I'm only imbuing it with value kedusha, I can do so temporarily, and then it can transfer from an ola to a shlamim, or from a shlamim to an ola. And the second part of the brisa is telling me that's not only true in the world of kedushas damim, that's even true in the world of kedushas aguf. In the world of kedushas aguf, I can go from one Kedusha to another Kedusha. I can imbue something with temporary Kedusha, even if that original Kedusha was Kedusha Saguf. So the Gemara says, I understand why there would be two parts of the Braisa. Hainu, top of Chav Tesamud Beis, Hainu Districh Lele Tana Lemeste Tarte. And that's why with the Braisa, would have to go over both points. The Braisa wants to teach me two separate Chidushim. Because the Sakha, Das Chamina Kedusha Saguf Lo Paka Bechdi. Because I would have made the argument that, look, Kedusha's Damim, you could do that. You can start off with one Kedushas Damim and then shift it over to another Kedushas Damim. But Kedushas Aguf, I would have thought you can't do that. So Kedushas Damim Pakta Bichdi. Amat Alahachi Tani Tarte. And that's why the Bryce has to give me two cases. Ela'i Amart Idi Kedushas Damim. But if both parts of the Bryce are talking about where it's only consecrated for its value and not for Kedushas Aguf, Lama Limise Tarte. Why would the Braisa have to give me two cases? In fact, the Braisa could have been much more succinct, and the Braisa could have said the following. Hashta Yeshlamer Mikdusha Chamura, Mikdusha Kala, Paka Mikdusha Kala, Mikdusha Chamura, Tzricha LeMeimar. Consider the following. What was the first case in the Braisa? I'm going to go from it being an Ola to it being a Shlamen. And let's say the Braisa is talking strictly about Kedusha's Damim. That's a big deal. Even from a Damim standpoint, I had its value being earmarked for an Ola, which is a higher level carbon. And then I say, you know what? I want it to drop to Ishlamim, lower level Kedusha. If the Braisa was just talking about Damim, the Braisa could have stopped right there. Because now, what would be the next case? The next case would be, well, I'll start with Ishlamim and I'll move it up to Ola. That's obvious. If I can change it from an Ola to a Shlamim, from higher level to lower level, I for sure can change it from Shlamim to Ola. If the entire Braisa was just speaking about Damim, and then the second point of the Braisa would be totally superfluous. It makes much more sense to argue that the Braisa is teaching me two halachas to teach me that not only in the world of Damim can I go from one Kedusha to another Kedusha, but even the world of Kedusha Saguf, I can go from one Kedusha over to another Kedusha. So the Gemara says, so now this all becomes difficult if I limit the halacha of temporary Kedusha only to Kedusha Damim, not to Kedusha Saguf. So, at this point in time, let's quickly summarize, because admittedly now, Gemara is good and complicated. So let's just quickly summarize what we know up until now. There really are two opinions amongst the Amorayim, and then within one Amor's opinion, there's then a subsequent Machlokas Amorayim. Okay. Start off with the basic Machlokas between the earlier Amorayim, between Bar Pada and Ula. Bar Pada says that there's no such thing as temporary Kedusha, period. Once I imbue something with Kedusha, and it does not matter whether it's Kedusha Seguf or whether it's Kedusha Damim. Once I imbue something with Kedusha, that's it. It has Kedusha. And the only way the Kedusha can go away is only if I redeem it. That's the opinion of Bar Pada. That's how he understands our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Ein Lam Pidyon, it's talking about while it's connected to the tree. After it's detached from the tree, it still has its Kedusha. Even though I said the words, it's only going to have Kedusha until I cut it down. Cutting it down is not going to remove the Kedusha. It means that after I cut it down, I'm still one point going to have to redeem it if I want the Kedusha to go away. That's Bar Pada's opinion. Bar Pada, therefore, is not of the belief that Kedusha can never go away. That's Bar Pada's viewpoint. On which Ula disagrees. No. Ula says that there's such a thing as temporary Kedusha. I can imbue something with temporary Kedusha. The Kedusha will be there as long as I deem. Obviously, I have to, from the point of origination, declare that I'm making it temporarily kadosh. But according to Ula, that could be. I can give something temporary kedusha. And then, whenever point I deemed it the kedusha to go away, the kedusha simply goes away. And that's how Ula understands our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that once I cut it off, when the Mishnah says Ein Lam Pidyon, that there's no redemption, the way Ula understands our Mishnah, I don't need to redeem it because I only gave it temporary kedusha. That's Ula's opinion. Within Ula's opinion now, we have a subsequent machlokas between Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava are only speaking within Ula's position. Within Ula's position, the question now is, can this temporary Kedusha be true for Kedusha's Damim, or could it also be true for Kedusha's Aguf? So Abaye made the argument that it only applies to Kedusha's Damim. Kedusha's Damim, value Kedusha, can be imbued temporarily, but not Kedusha's Aguf. That was Abaye's position. Rava is going even one step further. Rava is arguing that no, even in the world of Kedusha's Aguf, I can imbue something with only temporary Kedusha, where it can have Kedusha for a finite period of time, and then at the point where I said it has Kedusha for a finite period of time, and I declare when that finality is, so at the point of finality, the Kedusha just simply goes away. That is Rava's position. Okay. Just again to speak out another Ran over here in our Gemara. So the Ran says, just consider the following. Abaye made a very strong case that by Kedusha's Aguf, Kedusha simply does not go away. What was Abaye's point? Consider marriage. When a man marries a woman, he's Mekadesh her. Now the Gemara says it is absurd to consider that a man can be Mekadesh a woman, but let's say for a day, or for whatever temporary period he wants. Once a man's a Mekadesh a woman, that's it. She's Mekudeshes. And the only way to dissolve that Kedushin is either through a get or through death. But that's it. So let's just consider for a moment. Rava, within the position of Ula, is making the argument that temporary Kedusha is true for Kedusha's Damim and is true for Kedusha's Aguf. The Ran wonders out loud, what is he going to do with the case study of marriage? Meaning, how is he going to understand marriage? So the Ran says, in defense of Rava, we're going to have to say that marriage is its own separate entity. Meaning that when it comes to marriage, when a man is Mekadesh a woman, so there, even Rava will agree and admit that the Kedushin is going to be a permanent Kedushin. Why? So the Ran argues that because when it comes to marriage, there is simply no other option. Meaning the very definition of marriage is that it's right. It's a permanent situation. There's only, when it comes to marriage, when a man's Mekadesh a woman, there's only one path of Kedushin, and that is marriage. She's Mekudeshes. She has Kedushas Aguf. And there's no other option. But when you're talking about an object, be it an animal, be it a fruit, be it a garment, so when we're talking about objects, there really are two paths of Kedushin. There's Kedushas Aguf, and there's also Kedushas Damim. As long as there's an option of Kedushas Damim, so whatever's true but when it comes to Kedushas Damim is also going to be true by Kedushas Aguf. By Kedushas Damim, I can give a temporary Kedusha. By Kedushas Aguf, I can also give it temporary Kedusha as well. So the Gemara doesn't make this point, the Ran does. You're going to have to make a segregation between the Kedushin as it relates to a woman as opposed to the Kedushin as it relates to items and objects. Okay. Hopefully later on we'll talk about who the halakha is going to follow. So again, so to summarize, Barpada's position is that there is simply no such thing as temporary Kedushin at all, and it does not matter if we're talking about Kedushin's Aguf or Kedushin's Damim. There's no such thing. Ula is of the opinion that there is such a thing as temporary Kedushin, as temporary Kedusha, I should say. Not Kedushin. There is such a thing as temporary Kedusha, and it's just now a question within the opinion of Ula, is that apply for only Kedusha's Damim? That's a Abaye's position. Or is it even true for Kedusha's Aguf? That's Rava's position. That's where we stand right now in the Gemara. And what the Gemara brought was a Braisa. The Braisa says that here we have an animal. The animal, I start off by it being an Ola, and then I say 30 days from now it's going to turn into a Shlamim. And the Braisa gives the reverse. It starts off as a Shlamim, and then 30 days from now it's going to become an Ola. So what Rava says is, what do you see from the Braisa? The Braisa goes over two cases. Why does the Braisa go over two cases? Simple. Because the Braisa wants to teach us that this would be true if I imbued it with Kedushas Damim, and it would also be true if I imbued it also with Kedushas Aguf. Otherwise, why would the Braisa have to give us two cases? So this Braisa seemingly would be evidence for Rava that, according to Ula, temporary Kedusha can be true for both Kedushas Damim and for Kedushas Aguf. That is a summary of everything we've seen up until now. To which now the Gemara says, wait a second. We just saw a Braisa. In the very least, the Braisa teaches us that there's such a thing as temporary Kedusha. at least for Kedushas Damim. And again, you can even go so far as to say, even for Kedushas Aguf, that's what Rava argued within the opinion of Ula. Let's go all the way back to Bar Pada. Bar Pada says there's no such thing as temporary Kedusha. So now the Gemara is going to ask a very simple, straightforward question. What is Bar Pada going to do with the Braisa that we just learned? The Braisa that we just learned told us that there is such a thing as temporary Kedusha. Otherwise, how does the animal go from being an Ola to a Shlamim? How does the animal go from being a Shlamim to an Ola? It's got to be because when originally invested with that first wave of Kedusha, Kedusha just simply goes away. Again, you want to argue Kedusha is Damim, Kedusha is Aguf, you can argue whichever way. At least the Braisa, on its very simplest level, is teaching us that there's such a thing, and now I can use the pun literally, there's such an animal as temporary Kedusha. So now, question on the table, very simple one, what's Bar Pada going to do with that Braisa? And with that, that's the end, that's the remainder of today's daf. To which the Gemara says, Lema te have it yufta de Bar Pada. So now this braisa seemingly is very difficult for Bar Pada. Amar of Papa Amalacha Bar Pada. So Rav Papa is going to defend Bar Pada. Again, Bar Pada is an earlier Amora. Rav Papa came later. He's somewhere in the middle of the period of the Amoraim. He's just, I don't know if there was, I don't think there was direct communication or whatever. It's a defense. It's Rav Papa's defense of Bar Pada. Hachi Kamar. So the way we're going to suggest a defense of Bar Pada is going to go like this: Im lo amar me'achshav shlamim la'achar lamayom olahava. It means as follows: the animal can turn from an ola to a shlamim, like the Braisa says, but that's only because at the point where he gave it the original kedusha, he said, "I wanted to become a shlamim after 30 days." In other words, he embedded within this Kedusha another Kedusha. So that right now the animal is an Ola, because for the first 30 days he declared the animal to be an Ola, and then 30 days from now, it's going to become a Shlamim. But, that's only if I remove the Kedusha's Ola. I can't just simply, the transfer is not going to happen by its own, because again, Once it was given Kedusha Sola, it remains a Kedusha Sola. And it's only if I remove the Kedusha Sola, then it can turn into a Shlamim. So, Mida Dahave, you know what it's like, says the Gemara? It's like, Ha'omer Lishes Kashili Lachay Lamayom de Mikudeshes. Ve'afa Pishis Aklu Hamos. You know what it's like, says the Gemara? Again, we're gonna draw another analogy between the Kedusha of an animal and Kedushin, marriage between a man and woman. Let's say a man goes over to a woman and says, here's the money. I want to be Mekadesh you. However, I don't want the Kedushin to take effect until 30 days from now. Again, don't ask me for motivation. I would say he's got cold feet and he's just, you know, he's testing out the water, but that's not really true. It's not true. Okay, don't ask me about motivation. Right now, let's just talk about what happens. He gives her the money. He says, I want to be Mekadesh you. I just don't want the Kedushin to take effect 30 days from now. What's the halacha? The halacha is the Kedushin takes effect 30 days from now. And the Chiddush is as follows. Even if, let's say, she's holding the money, she was given the money, and let's say, wow, what a windfall. This is great. You know what? I like to spend the money. I just got my money for Kedushin. She has every right to do that. But here the Chiddush is as follows. Even though the effect of the Kedushin doesn't take place 30 days from now, still, 30 days from now, the Kedushin will take effect, even if she no longer has the money that was given to her 30 days ago. So the Gemara says, so good. So that's essentially what the Braisa is teaching us. That, first he imbued the animal with Kedusha Zola. Then, 30 days from now, he made the declaration, I want to imbue, he embeds the Kedusha Shlamim in there as well. As long as the Kedusha Zola is taken care of, as long as it's gone, 30 days from now, the Kedusha Shlamim takes effect. To which the Gemara says, okay, all well and good. But basically, do you know what Bar Pada, the way he understands the Braisa, do you know what the Braisa is essentially teaching us? That you can give money now, you can imbue Kedusha now, even though its effect is not going to take place 30 days from now. The Gemara's response to that is Pshita, that's obvious. Now it's not so obvious, But after knowing the Gemara and Kiddushin, it is pretty obvious. You can do something now and delay the effect for later on. The Gemara says, "Lo tzricha da hadar bei." So the Gemara says, "Well, no, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. The chiddush is going to be even if he changes his mind. Even if he says, you know, right, somewhere within those 30 days, he says, nah, I don't want it. Hanich lamanda amar eno chazeres." So the Gemara says, that's good. If you subscribe to that viewpoint, that's very good. Lamanda amar chazeres maikel amemar. However, this point is not such an obvious point. Because the Gemara in Kedushin, Dafnan Tess, Aran quotes it. The Gemara in Kedushin notes that this is a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Charata is not going to help. Rav Yochanan says that Charata will help, meaning that if within those 30 days they want to renege, so they can renege. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so now the point which you claim to be obvious, at least according to Rav Yochanan, is not so obvious. Gemara says, "Afil aman damar asam choseres." So the Gemara says, "No, even according to Rav Yochanan, who maintains in the Gemara in Kedushin that once she accepts the money, even though the effect of the Kedushin is not going to take place 30 days from now, and even though that, according to Rav Yochanan, you can renege in the world of Kedushin, here in the case of a sanctity of an animal, it would be different. Why would it be different? And with this, we end. The amiraso legavoa kimisiraso lahejot." Because in the world of sanctifying an animal, we have the following halacha. When it comes to the sanctification of an animal, truth of the matter is, you don't even have to give money. Even an amira, even just simply a declaration that an animal is going to have kedusha, that is mesira lehejot. That's like giving something over to somebody else. Meaning in the world of sanctity of an animal, declaration is a more significant act than it is in its declaration is just as strong as giving money over when it comes to transactions between you and I. And because sanctification of an animal comes through a mere act of declaration, so here, when I first imbue the animal with a Kedusha Zola, and at the time I say, and I'd like the animal to be a Shlamim 30 days from now, and even though Rav Yochanan in the world of Kedushin says that you're allowed to renege, had this been a case of Kedushin, but this is not a case of Kedushin. This is a case of sanctification of an animal. And in the world of sanctification of an animal, once you embed the carbon Shlamim Kedusha to take place 30 days from now, as long as you remove the Kedusha Sola, so then the Kedusha Shlamim will take effect. Period. Adkan, that is today's daf. Let's just quickly review. It's small daf and admittedly a complicated one. But tomorrow the discussion continues. Tomorrow we'll close the topic. So let's just quickly review. The question really for today is there such a thing as temporary Kedusha? Bar Pada says, no, there's not. There's no such thing. And Ula says, no, there is. There is such a thing as temporary Kedusha. Now, within Ula's position that there is such a thing as temporary Kedusha, is that limited only to Kedusha's Damim? Or is that even true for Kedusha's Agof? Abaye says that's only limited to Kedusha's Damim. Rava says, no, that's even true for Kedusha's Agof as well. The Brisa, which the Gemara quotes, on the bottom of Chav Tes Amar Aleph, seemingly would be a good support for Rava's position, and Abaye would defend himself. And what would Bar Pada do with that Braisa? Because Bar Pada says there's no such thing as temporary Kedushin. So the Gemara gave a defense for Bar Pada's position. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up on the bottom with the words Yosef Rabbi Avin.